Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on May 1st, 2014. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show, or visit us on our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm great, and the weather is turning. The
Santa
Ana
is gorgeous, huh?
Oh yes, it's amazing. And
I was out on the water Tuesday night sailing.
Yes.
Oh my goodness!
Racing? Did you win?
No, I don't want to talk about it. I'll give you three letters. DNS. That was our official. A situation as in the race results. DNS did not start.
Oh, yeah.
So I really don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about something more exciting. We'll talk about politics.
Yes. another one of our favorite topics.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there are some races coming up that we're very interested in here in the South Bay. Mm-hmm. Who's our guest today, Jackie?
Our guest this morning is Pat Fury, one of three candidates running for mayor of the city of Torrance next month, Tuesday, June 3rd. Pat was elected to the Torrance City Council in 2008 and reelected in 2012. He currently serves as chair of the Community Planning and Design Committee. He's a member of the Employee Relations and Public Safety Committee, the Finance and Government Operations Committee, the Armed Forces Day Committee, and the 2010 Ad Hoc Federal Legislative Advocacy Committee. Pat earned an Associate in Arts degree in Journalism at El Camino College, and he was recently honored with the El Camino College Distinguished Alumni Award. In 1986, Pat graduated with honors from UCLA Attorney Assistant Training Program and was employed as a legal assistant for 9 years. His education culminated with the Juris Doctor degree that was conferred on him in 1995 by the University of West Los Angeles. He is employed by the County of Los Angeles as the Principal Deputy County Counsel assigned to the Children's Services Division. Pat spent more than 10 years as a supervising attorney at the Edelman Children's Court in Monterey Park. He currently serves as a training and advice counsel to the Department of Children and Family Services in Torrance, a position he has held for more than 3 years. Pat served 4 terms as president of the Torrance Education Foundation. He and his wife, Terry, are longtime board members and have been intimately involved in fundraising efforts that directly benefit the children who attend Torrance Public Schools. In 2007, Pat and Terry were the recipients of the James R. Armstrong Community Leadership Award in recognition of their contributions to Torrance schools and the community. In addition, they are both past recipients of the Honorary Service Award presented by the Parent Teachers Association for their service to their schools. prior to being elected to the Torrance City Council, Pat served as a member of the Torrance Unified School District Personnel Commission. He was also president of the North Torrance Homeowners Association for more than 8 years. In addition, he served two terms as a Torrance Civil Service Commissioner, including 1 year as the chair of the commission. He also served on Mayor Frank Scotto's Blue Ribbon Committee on Ethics and Integrity. In his spare time, Pat has been a dedicated volunteer to Little League Baseball District 27 for over 25 years. He also served for more than 10 years as a volunteer Boy Scout leader. He was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. After high school, Pat fulfilled his military obligation as an infantry soldier in the United States Army, and he served 5 years as a police officer in Philadelphia before moving to Southern California in 1973. Now, Pat and his wife, Terry, are the proud parents of two grown children and grandparents of two young men, all of whom attend or attended Torrance Public Schools and live in the city to this day. Welcome to the program, Pat. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today.
Well, we're very pleased to have you, Pat. And what a great resume! What a great season of service you and your wife have led in Torrance. I was on the Education Foundation in Hermosa Beach for 11 plus years, and I love that position. Great friends joining me, and also, of course, you know, the children, working for the children and ensuring that they have everything we can possibly give them is so rewarding. I'm sure you and your wife enjoyed that very much.
Yeah, I still do, actually. I still serve on the board. And
right.
Really, you know, there's a lot of challenges, but
right.
It's, you know, challenges give us opportunity. That's,
right.
One of the things that I really enjoy about it. And you meet an awful lot of great people who are like-minded.
Great people, yeah.
Yeah, when you want to increase the education of our children, and especially what occurred with the budgets starting back in the 90s, people just come on board with a check or with cash, and they help out. And
right.
That's a good thing.
Right. So, you know, We can talk because you're on the council in Torrance. We can talk about current issues and things because you've really been involved for some time now, since 2008, in everything involved with the city. So I guess I want to talk about current issues and one of those.
There's a big one out there, isn't there?
You know where I'm going, Pat. I mean,
yes,
this is where we want to know. In Torrance, both city leaders, business leaders, real estate, a lot of real estate people are either salivating or they're terrified because there's such a strong base of homeowners that are employed there by Toyota. It's a scary situation. Give us the 30,000-foot view of the situation as it stands currently.
Okay, I want to give you the background of what occurred, really. We, and when I say we, that's all of the elected officials,
right.
We were unaware of the move by Toyota until we started getting some inquiries from the media late Friday, and by Sunday, I had some friends do some intel research online, and they found an article, a two-paragraph article on a blog site, which said that Toyota was going to be doing a press conference on Monday about a move. We then later contacted Toyota, and they agreed to do a conference call with us at 9:45 on Monday morning. By that time, we had an idea what was occurring, but not to the extent. We had actually hoped, I hoped that it was going to be just a partial move, you know, a slow process, perhaps just one entity. But at the 9:45 telephone conference, and it was Mayor Scotto and myself and city staff were there, he told us it was everything. They decided to coordinate all their efforts into one place. It's Plano, Texas. And they were very, very, you know, obviously it had to be kept a secret for their proprietary interest along the way. I guess they had to acquire property in Texas, but we believe it's been going on for about 6 months to a year. So it's interesting that we had no information on it.
Right.
What does it impact us? As a city, I think the fees and taxes that we've checked out is about $1.2 million to our general fund.
Mm-hmm.
They've said that it will take until the end of 2017 before the move is completed.
Mm-hmm.
So that does give us 2.5 years to kind of whittle down to that. The biggest impact, as you pointed out, is more to the employees because
mm-hmm.
there's some tough choices that have to be made. If you're
right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, if you're a new employee, you know, you make the decision, do I love California? Do I want to have a career with Toyota? And then you move or you don't.
Right.
If you're a 25-year employee, and I like to say with a child in middle school and another one, a sophomore or junior in high school, how do you do that one? You know, if you have a mortgage here and
right.
you know, you're all set in your way, that's the tough choices. So you know, it's going to be, and like I said, with the Education Foundation, challenges sometimes open up new opportunities. We have 101 acres of property over there. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
it's owned all by Toyota, so they're the ones who will be marketing it. We will assist, when I say we, the city and our economic development team. We've also called in, I spoke with the governor's office on Monday, and the GoBiz office up there that he set up a number of years ago is on board, as is the County Office of Economic Development. Our Office of Economic Development, we've also brought in the Workforce Investment Board, because there may be people at a certain level that will need retraining and new jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the bigger corporations in our community have already stepped forward and are willing to be part and partial to the transition period, if you will call it, because the highly trained technical people that are employed there, some of whom will want to stay here, they look like they'll be able to find some type of employment with a commensurate you know, pay. So I'm more worried about the employees because the city will continue on. $1.2 million sounds like a lot, but when ExxonMobil does a turnaround, if they close down for a month, we lose utility user tax of about $1 million that month. So
mm-hmm.
the city can get right through. We went through this great recession, and we did okay with that. So.
Right. Right.
You know, opportunity, like I said, there's opportunities. There, you know, 101 acres, there may be several businesses that go in there.
Right.
There may be just one. It's a wonderful campus. It's beautiful. It's a turnkey campus for some great corporation.
Right.
I think it's incumbent upon us to go to our other businesses that are here and, you know, assure them that we're behind them. I spoke with Assemblyman Elmer Succi on Monday. And he also had no inkling at all that anything was going to occur. He was as shocked as the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's all part of the team as well. Our Congresswoman, Maxine Waters, is also on board now. So I think, you know, if we get together a good coalition, a good group of hardworking people, and I think we'll get through this. I just, my biggest concern is for the employees.
Right, right. It's huge news for many people, and we're glad that we could have you talk about it. I don't think we can really resolve anything or anything else, but just the knowledge that it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. We've got 2.5 years, as you said, and it's big news.
I heard from somebody I know that works there.
Mm-hmm.
That all but 2,000 people are going to be, or 2,000 jobs are going to be shifted to Texas right away, and then the other 2,000 will happen by in the next 2 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you look at it because it's not just California and Torrance. There's also 1,300 jobs from Kentucky.
Mm.
And there's another, and I don't know the number, but from New York. So it's, you know, it truly is, when you look at it, you know, some people have already said, well, it's because of the state of California and they're doing this. And Toyota said specifically it was not that. It was a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at what Governor Perry had given them, and I think the number I read is $40 million as an incentive, I believe that you could really term that in Toyota dollars as chump change, because they give away more of that in their gifting throughout the country, throughout the world. I would venture to say $100 million a year that they give away philanthropically.
Right.
So they just recently gave us, and when I say us, the city of Torrance, $500,000 for our sports fields. They've been donating a car to our education foundation. I'm glad to say that I brought that business plan into effect 9 years ago, but they donate a car that we raffle off every year, so that's a great income producer.
Right.
Some of the charities are may be affected, but again, I understand that they are putting together, the plan is to put a foundation together with about $10 million to fund all of the charities they've been involved with in an ongoing basis.
Wow.
So, they're really great community partners, and they worry about all of those aspects. I look forward to seeing what they're going to be offering to their employees. I'm sure it's going to be either great handshakes to say goodbye or great benefits to move to Texas.
Right.
So
right.
They're very, it's a very upright corporation, they had to do it quietly. I'm sure if I was going to be doing the same thing in the business world, you wouldn't want that information going public, because the property values would skyrocket in Plano, Texas, and the whole benefit is going there to get the benefit of the value.
Right.
Who wants to move to Texas?
My decision would already been made. I would say goodbye. Like you said at the outset, what a beautiful day. Here we are in the South Bay. It's probably going to reach about the mid-80s, maybe 90 today, but it's crystal clear, and we know why we live here, and I'm sure that's one of the problems that the people are going to have to think about. I've been to Texas. I live in Torrance, and I love the South Bay, and this is where, and in fact, Jackie, when you introduced me, it indicated I was working for the county. Actually, I retired as of March 28th, I tell my wife that I'm now unemployed. But it gives me, unfortunately, that way I have a lot more time to give to the position of councilman, or if I'm so fortunate to get elected to be the mayor as well.
Right. It is a wonderful city. Torrance is actually quite a powerhouse industrially. When we think of the South Bay, we always include Torrance, but Torrance is kind of the quiet big brother in terms of industry. Can you talk a little bit about the size and scope of the industry that Torrance contains? Because a lot of people in the South Bay don't realize.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we have. And we've always said that we're a balanced city. And that's one of the reasons we got through the recession so much better than some other cities, because we do have that great balance. Robinson Helicopter, they are the largest producer in the world of small helicopters. They employ 1,200 people on site there, right inside Torrance. Pelican Products, it's another international corporation.
Global
security devices and lighting globally. I mean, there's people in Europe who just love their products, as well as the Asias, too. So, Alcoa Fasteners, there's 2,000 employees over there. Manufacturing parts for the aerospace industry. And we have all these little companies, and when I say little, that's 100 to maybe 400 or 500 employees who are high-tech manufacturing, and I really believe that the balance aspect is one of the things that kept us really doing well. Had we slipped one way or the other in years past, perhaps things wouldn't have been as good. So we're very proud of the way the community lives together and plays together nicely, because you have to have that balance.
Right. It's a marvelous city. Of course, the beach, Torrance has some part of the city that does have beach property close to the ocean, and it's just really a balanced city in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your tenure at as a city council member since 2008, so it's quite a bit of experience. And what are some of the things that you're most proud of that you've accomplished, or that the council as a team has accomplished in those years?
I think when you think about me getting elected in 2008, I think my greatest accomplishment is being able to balance the budget during that period of time without laying off any employees, without diminishing services during that period of time. It has really been challenging. Mm-hmm. Every time we saw a light at the end of the tunnel, somebody turned off the lights in the tunnel. the state of California took away our redevelopment agency money, which we were working on Old Torrance area to revitalize that, and we got partially through, and then they pulled the rug out from under us. We had a fund that would probably be about $500,000 from the vehicle license fees that people pay. Mm-hmm. They do it considered on how many people live in your community, and the state took that away all of a sudden. Then the courts looked at our utility users tax and everybody's utility users tax and decided that the data usage on our cell phones is not subject to the utility users tax, so they took that away. And meantime, we kept going along. We still had to provide police services and fire services and street sweeping and trash pickup and bus services. And so we made a number of surgical cuts during that period of time. And sometimes people use that term loosely, but we truly had to. And I think it shows on our infrastructure, on our streets. Presently, they really do need some work, and we've been doing most of our repair work based upon grants and proposition money that either the state had or the federal government gave us. So as the economy is coming back now, it's time to backfill the positions that we let vacant and also to increase the city services and go forward with the infrastructure. Now, my favorite thing that I did was we accomplished opening up the new athletic fields at 555 Maple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're aware of that, but there was 6.2 acres sitting there that the county of Los Angeles had purchased back in about 20 years ago when the court systems were county operated. And their idea was to build a new courthouse there when the old courthouse got to a certain point that it had to be replaced. Well, it sat there for 20 years, and it was basically just a fallow piece of property. I met with the presiding judge in Torrance, and his name is Mark Arnold. He's not the presiding judge any longer. Mm-hmm. And asked him if we could not get together a coalition and see if we could not use that for some sports fields. And he was very positive about that. He's always been involved in the youth in the community. I met him professionally as a county attorney, and he being a Superior Court judge. And he rolled with it and brought out the people from the administrative office of the courts, the facilities directors, and I brought in the people from the city of Torrance. And the mayor then rolled with it, talking to Supervisor Kanabe, our former assembly person, Betsy Butler, went through the state, and after a long period of time, we finally got it around to they're leasing it to us for a 10-year period of time for $1 a year. They allowed us to put an infrastructure on top of it, which is basically artificial turf and fenced in, so it can be used by the community and youth in the community, adults in the community, and we have it for the next 7 years. We put in a fee structure that will pay for the infrastructure that we did put in there. So it'll be revenue neutral at the end, or we'll have a bunch of, if we get to keep it again for another 10 years, we'll have enough money to revitalize the infrastructure we put there. So that's really neat. When you can do 6.2 acres and turn it into parkland from what was nothing, that's exciting.
Right. That's awesome.
And isn't Toyota, is it going to be called Toyota Field?
Yeah, Jackie, as a matter of fact, they donated $500,000 to us afterwards, and it was, so it's Toyota Fields over there. So some people have said maybe we should call it Toyota Memorial Stadium.
Oh!
But, it just shows what corporate partners they were. You know, whenever you needed something, you could always ask for them philanthropically. So,
right.
Again, you know, you're breaking my heart.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
it's sad. It's sad.
I'm putting in my vote for, Google or...
Google. I don't want to poach other cities or poach other states.
I don't have a problem with that.
Well, you'll be my emissary. That way I don't have to look like the bad guy.
Other people go poach and we can poach just as well.
Right.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that because it is owned by Toyota, you know, they will have the major say in what goes there.
Right.
A number of years ago, and this is, I guess, about 2010, I had the occasion to meet the Council General of Germany. And we brought him down. He asked me a question. He said, what's Torrance known for? And I explained to him that we have the car industry here as well as ExxonMobil, as well as the manufacturer. And he said, I didn't know that. I said, well, why don't we get together? And he and his economic development team to Torrance and gave them a tour of all the places I mentioned earlier, all of our manufacturing plants. And, of course, I showed him the high-rise building of Honda and the bank tower on Hawthorne Boulevard. And I think they were duly impressed. And I've been working for the last 4 years in trying to get a sister city relationship and or a business-friendly relationship with the Republic of Germany.
Mm.
And I've looked at a number of the cities over there. They have auto-related cities that are well-known for, you know, whether it's the BMW or the Mercedes or the Audi. And they have a very low presence in the South Bay. So, you know, that's one of the things we could look at. I mean, it would be a great campus for an auto manufacturer, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Speaking of
a turnkey operation.
Yeah. Speaking of Germany, I'm going to be there at the end of this month, and we're taking a tour of the BMW plant over there.
Okay, so say hello to the Bavarian Motor Works for me and tell them that Torrance is here, and we're looking forward
for
to meeting with them. Yeah, I think we'll do a trade mission on there shortly after the election. And I think it's very important to get over to, and Bavaria is the place because Ingolstadt is where the Audis are made.
An Audi. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
We have two Audis. We're an Audi family.
Yeah, my wife has one now, and she loves it as well.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be amazing.
Audi
to take
Audi
over the
of
facility.
Torrance. How does that
sound?
Well,
we already have an Audi of Torrance.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're right. I bought my car there.
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
That's the car guy.
Yeah.
You know, I always come back to, Pat, because the other beach cities have different things that they talk about, but the one thing that Torrance has that the other beach cities can't touch is size.
Yeah.
Torrance, 2010 census, 145,000. It just dwarfs the other cities here in the South Bay by size, by you know, it's various businesses. What are some of the things that you think that Torrance residents should think about when they think about their own city that maybe they don't think about normally? Is there something that you could say, oh, this is something that Torrance has that you don't normally think about?
Well, I think one of the things is they forget how big we are.
Yeah.
So really, you know, we have this small town feeling, and when you say the numbers of 145,000 people and it's 21 square miles, it really is the 800-pound gorilla in the middle of the South Bay.
Yeah.
We are the eighth largest city, I believe, at the last census in Los Angeles County, out of 88 cities. But we're also the third largest sales tax revenue producer.
Right.
We're just behind Long Beach, and, you know, if things go the way I'd like to see them go after Del Amo Mall is finished, we probably will jump into the second spot. So we are really a big city masquerading as a small town, and I think we do a great job of it.
Yeah, when you think of Torrance, you've got that great old downtown.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say you, I, because I live in Torrance.
How about if we say we?
Yeah, we've got this great old town Torrance, and it's deceiving because you think it's a quaint little town.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a quaint little. It's that part of it is a quaint little town, but there's a lot more to it than that. You don't think about the surrounding area.
Right.
Yeah. And if you go like to Glendale, which is a little bit smaller than we are, actually a little bit larger than we are, it looks like a big city. And when you drive through our city, it's still, kind of flat. There's not the big high-rises that overpower you.
Right.
So, the forefathers that were here before, they laid out a pretty good plan. The old downtown neighborhood is so quaint, and, it's been revitalized coming back. I see more things happening down there. I think the Lama Mall with their remodeling over there is really going to be a catalyst to changing our economy up again. Nordstrom's coming to Torrance and all the other related businesses. Now,
have either of you been to De Lama? Because I went through it recently, and some of the changes are amazing.
And my wife drags me there on a regular basis. She actually works for the school district as a job developer, and a lot of her clients work in the mall. She has a relationship with a lot of the businesses there, and then she places children in their first jobs in the mall. So she walks it on a regular basis, and when she sees something that I should see, then I walk it as well.
Right.
The food court
is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The North End, what they've gone through the demo right now, is going to be really spectacular.
I got to say, I drove, this was several weeks ago, I was in the mood for barbecue, so I ran over to Lucille's at lunchtime, and I pulled into the parking lot right there by Barnes & Noble's where Lucille's is, and I was like, where did the building go? Because they had demolished the whole thing. I was like, I knew that they were going to be changing things up there, but I didn't expect them to just scrape, whole bunch of it. Yeah,
that's what they have to do. I mean, it has to be totally revitalized. It's going to be a new look entirely.
Right.
It's going to be all high-end and things that actually complement Nordstrom's, and that's what Nordstrom's wants, and the people in those other businesses want to be near Nordstrom. So it's going to be a great magnet store for that end of the mall.
Well, the prior redevelopment they did there is wonderful.
Yes.
With the AMC movie theater and the restaurants and shops on that end. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
You mentioned schools, Pat, and we're gonna take a break in a minute, but I want to talk about the school district. I'm from Hermosa. My South Bay roots are in Hermosa Beach, and that's one of the first things you learn in Hermosa is that Hermosa kids have a choice to go to Manhattan.
Yeah.
Or to go to Redondo, because we don't have our own high school. There's no space for a high school. Torrance has four high schools.
Well, actually, we have five public schools, and we also have Bishop.
Well, yeah.
So,
Bishop, of course. You have four public schools, and then you have Bishop Montgomery.
Yeah.
You have eight middle schools and 17 elementary schools.
It's a big district.
Hermosa has one.
Yeah.
Elementary school.
Well, Hermosa is only a mile square.
Mile. 1.3, Jackie. 1.3.
Okay, sorry.
1.3 mile square.
Okay.
We are, we're bigger than that.
And you have more parking meters on any street than we do in the whole city of Torrance.
Hermosa Beach claim to fame. The most parking meters per capita.
Right. Well, we're having an amazing discussion with Pat Fury, Torrance mayoral candidate and sitting city council member. And we're going to be back with Pat in just a moment. But right now, we'd like to take a break. And also, if you'd like to call in and ask Pat a question, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Please give us a call and ask Pat a question or make a comment. We'd love to have you. Jackie, who do we want to thank?
Joe, you know, it's never too early to begin planning your financial future when it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars. You'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, you can visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011. And that's another fine Torrance business.
Yes.
For Briganti, Cameron, Waters, and Strong.
There you go.
There
absolutely.
You go. Keeping it all in the hood.
So, you know, there's the school district. You can, Pat, I just wanted to ask you about that and just sort of give the numbers, because it is really kind of overwhelming. People don't talk about it as much. You know, so many, five high schools and 17 elementary schools. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is a population of somewhere between 24 and 25,000 students. So that's a good-sized school district. Now, and I'll point out the things that a lot of people don't realize is that we don't govern the school district. They have their own governing board. That's the school board, the trustees. They have their own budget. We don't fund through our tax streams the schools.
Right.
And theirs comes directly from the state of California, and they do their improvements through the bond measures, and they've been going through quite a few improvements in the last 5-6 years, actually, since measures Y and Z were passed. So all the schools are being remodeled or rebuilt, and they continue to do well. They had laid off teachers for years and years and years, and now it's time that they're hiring them back, so making some of the class sizes a little bit smaller. So we have a great relationship with the school board. Most of them are personal friends, if not professional friends. And we have committees. In fact, I used to sit on a committee where we had joint meetings with the school board to see if we could not share facilities. And ironically, that's how the 555 Maple actually came to fruition, because of all the bond measures and rebuilding the schools, a lot of their playgrounds were closed down, and we as a city use those playgrounds for our youth activities. So, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, they say, and so because of that, that's the reason I even went to the courts and asked if we could come up with some idea. Since there would be less fields to play on, we needed some more places to put our kids and our adults, so that worked out real well. You know, our relationship with the schools is good. I still enjoy working with the Education Foundation. And what you mentioned about you know, you don't have a high school in Hermosa Beach, but you have Redondo or Manhattan Beach. It's interesting. When I was the president of the Education Foundation, I put together what we call the South Bay Enrichment Academy, which is a summer school program. And we created it. The Education Foundation, and when the school districts had to cut their budgets enough that they couldn't provide a summer school program. So we created one. Mm-hmm. And we used Torrance teachers, Torrance sites, and we did real well. It brings an income stream to the Education Foundation, which then we use to pass on to the school district to most of the things we're doing right now is high tech. Information technology is the big thing to do, kind of keeping it up into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
But recently we got WASC approval, which gives us credibility, and we can give actual credits. And so now teens from Redondo Beach and Hermosa Beach and Manhattan Beach and up on the hill are now signing up to attend our summer school program in Torrance because they can use that for their credits so they can perhaps graduate a little early or take a little bit easier classes in their senior year. So it's become a regional, we called it South Bay Educational Academy, South Bay Enrichment Academy for a reason, and I guess it was so we could reach out to the entire South Bay. So there's another school that we put on in our system.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Yeah,
that really is. It's really a good thing. We've
educating
talked about all
the entire
things.
South Bay.
What's that? Yeah, the entire.
I said educating,
we're gonna take it all over.
Yeah.
We talked about all the good things. I think we really have to hit upon the things that are facing us in the near future.
Yes.
And, you know, all is not rosy. The Toyota issue, you know, that will resolve itself. And I have to think positively. It's going to be an impact at first, but it'll resolve itself in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the problem with Assembly Bill 109, the early release of felons.
Right.
Which has caused an uptick of burglaries and property crimes throughout the South Bay, throughout Los Angeles County, and actually throughout the state of California. We're dealing with that. We've hired two new police officers. We'll be hiring a couple more addressing different programs to get community awareness that these people are out there and what to do, educational programs for the community. We also have our pension obligations, which when you read the newspapers, you think it's doomsday. It's time that everybody should move to Texas and follow Toyota. I don't believe that's a true story, but I think we've dealt with the pension obligations that we have as a city. I've balanced my checkbook at home for a long period of time and know you can't spend more than you bring in. There is like a mortgage debt attached to that. The people are not retiring. Everybody's not going to retire tomorrow. Futuristically, and how is it paid behind. So we've made a number of changes within the city. The state of California has made a number of changes as well. And it's my firm belief that the pension obligations probably 27 to 30 years from now will zero out, and they'll be paying in enough money. When I retired from the county, I was in Plan D, I believe it's called. And you keep changing a plan according to what the economy does, where the investments are. And so this is a state plan. It's CalPERS.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a lot of effort to negotiate changes with our police, our fire, our general employees. And then the state came on with even more with legislature. They've changed the retirement ages. At the present time, a legacy employee, police officer could retire at 50 with 20 years of experience and enjoy his retirement. A firefighter, the same thing. A general employee could retire at, 57? I think 57, and enjoy their retirement. And they've extended those. Now a police officer, firefighter has to wait till 57 to retire or to get their benefits. And the general employee has to wait till 62 to get their benefits. So, you know, things will smooth out. It's going to take some time. Like I said, I'll be long gone before it's all perfect, but it will happen in the future.
Right.
The other thing, and I hear about it all the time when we're out in the community, is the infrastructure, because as I mentioned earlier, the streets were one of the things that we kind of pushed aside.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was a higher priority to have police officers, firefighters, than to making sure the streets were perfect. We used to have a plan that it was maybe a 6 to 8 year period that every street would be redone, and we pushed that out to a 12, 14 year period. We're going to have to bring that back, and you know, as the economy does get better, we'll bring that back to maybe a 5 and 6 year period, and maybe even step it up a little bit till we get everything back the way it should be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have some big income coming. There's a land swap between Torrance and Rolling Hills. It involves we're actually swapping a portion of Torrance for a portion of Rolling Hills Estates. And for that, the developer is paying us $10 million,
uh-huh.
Which would have been the property taxes that we would have received over a number of years. So that'll be one-time money, and we have a lot of interesting things that we can do with it, probably mm-hmm. putting some in the bank in our mm-hmm. reserves, probably doing some of these infrastructure repairs in a quick set, and also looking at some of the community development things that we could improve, and anything in our parks I think that people appreciate.
So Pat, I want to give you an opportunity. You've demonstrated a great command of the issues that are facing the city, and obviously demonstrated through your resume what a great and committed Torrance resident you and your wife are. Why, Pat, should you be mayor?
I believe I have the best experience. I have the best resume. I have the ability to meet with people in the boardroom to develop business, and that's what I think the mayor's biggest role is, besides running a meeting, is to meet with those within the community to make sure they're satisfied and go outside the community. You have to have a vision, and I've had that vision, you know, as I mentioned earlier, about bringing some businesses from Europe. And I think we have to make our relationship stronger with the businesses we have here. And I believe I project the image that a mayor should be. I have the expertise. I've actually created sustaining funding apparatuses for the Education Foundation, as I pointed out. And I think I have the ability to do that. I think outside the box. Obviously, I have my legal training, which I think is very important in this day and age to understand what a contract looks like, how to read a contract. I've actually written contracts. I understand what litigation is about. I understand what litigation costs are, and I know how to work a budget the correct way. So I think all those things you put together, my legacy within the city, and my legacy with working with the youth of our community, I think it's I'm the perfect person for this time.
Okay, all right. You passed my first test. I always say, if you ask a politician why they should be elected and they say, well, I don't really know, then you know the answer.
Yeah, go someplace else. Let's face it, we wouldn't do this unless we thought it was a very important role. It really is an important position. And I think specifically at this time, it ramps up when you talk about the obligations that we have and this thing with Toyota. We have to get through this, and I think you really need leadership. And I have a history of leadership. And I think it's just kismet that I actually had the opportunity to retire from my day job.
Right.
So now I have the time to dedicate. I don't know if you know this, Joe, but the mayor of the city of Torrance makes an overwhelming $100 a month.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
I'm going to run.
Are you running for the border, or are you running for office?
I think I'm running for Texas.
I'll bet you they make more over there.
Yeah.
Do you get a laptop, Pat, as a city council member? Because they get laptops in Hermosa.
No, I have my own, though.
Okay.
And I have my own iPad, and they do provide me with an iPhone.
Okay, all right. We provide him with an iPhone. Well, Pat, hold on a moment. We're going to be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Pat Fury, Torrance mayoral candidate, right after we talk about what else is going on around town. Jackie, what else is going on?
Okay, well, the South Bay by Jackie Weekend Guide is brought to you by Rockin' Brews PCH. Rockin' Brews PCH is proud to serve an extensive menu of casual American comfort food and over 100 craft beers in their family-friendly backstage beer garden at the beach. Now you can get all your favorite Rockin' Brews menu items, such as Asian spicy wings and the Maui Wowie pizza, to go. Call in your order or stop by on the way home, and it'll be ready in minutes. In addition, Rockin' Brews is making party planning fun and easy with its new catering menu. Rockin' Brews PCH is conveniently located at the crossroads of Pacific Coast Highway and Palos Verdes Boulevard and has plenty of on-site parking. For all the delicious details, visit the website at rockinbrews.com or call 310-378-4970. Okay, let's see. Just a note right at the top, Saturday, Kentucky Derby Day. I'm going to be wearing my really big hat. So you know, you'll be able to see it from about half a mile away. Join the experts at Total Wine & More as they walk through you through the basics of tasting wine at the all-new Wine 101, the Fundamentals of Wine Tasting, on Thursday, tonight, May 1st, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Guests will taste a series of eight delicious wines while expanding their wine knowledge. Attendees will learn how to identify key components of each wine, how to score wine, the proper temperatures to serve wine, and how to identify the style of wine that is most appealing to your individual palate. This delicious, informative, fun wine class is only $20 per person. Seating is limited, so be sure to call and make a reservation. For more information and to make reservations, call 310-542-1460 or visit the website at www.totalwine.com. The event will be held at the Total Wine & More Superstore located at 1505 Hawthorne Boulevard in Redondo Beach. The Torrance Art Museum presents the first annual South Bay Museum and Gallery Art Crawl on Saturday, May 3rd, from noon to 6 p.m. The South Bay is home to many excellent visual arts museums and galleries, and everyone is invited to visit and explore seven participating fine art institutions for free. A map will be available at each of the participating organizations and on the Torrance Art Museum website. The Torrance Art Museum will also sponsor a closing reception on Saturday, May 3rd, from 4 to 8 p.m. for participating organizations and art crawlers. For additional information, call the Cultural Services Division, Community Services Department at 310-618-2376 or visit the Torrance Art Museum website at www.torranceartmuseum.com. The Daily Breeze presents the 6th Annual Successful Aging Expo on Saturday, May 3rd at a new location in the Torrance Cultural Arts Center between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. The expo is designed especially for people ages 40 to 100 and had over 3,500 attendees last year. This free one-day event will be rich in resources and information. Visitors and participants will have the opportunity to visit over 50 booths of companies and firms with something of value to offer young adults, baby boomers, those in midlife, and older adults. As a special preview to the expo, the Daily Breeze will publish a successful aging program today, Thursday, May 1st, that will include a list of exhibitors, a floor plan, the scheduled events, and speakers and their topics. For additional information, visit the website at successfulagingexpo.com/Daily Breeze. The Torrance Cultural Arts Center is located at 3330 Civic Center Drive in Torrance. The City of El Segundo presents the Hometown Fair and Carnival on Saturday, May 3rd at Library Park, Main Street, and El Segundo High School. All the fun takes place between 10 in the morning and 3 p.m. The event features carnival rides, game booths, entertainment, music, arts and crafts, bake-off contest, community expo, and more. Be sure to buy a $5 ticket or two or three for a chance to win an electric bike valued at $2,000. The winner will be announced at the fair at 2 p.m. Funds raised from the Hometown Fair and Carnival will benefit El Segundo High School and El Segundo Recreation and Parks Department. For additional information, you can call 310-524-2700 or visit the website at www.elsegundo.org. El Segundo High School is located at 640 Main Street in El Segundo. Join Beach City's Health District for a free fitness series, Yoga at the Pier, every Monday evening from April 21st through May 19th. This weekly event will take place on the south side of Manhattan Beach Pier at the Strand, and everyone is welcome to participate. Registration starts at 6 p.m. with the hour-long yoga class beginning at 6:30. All participants must sign a waiver. Attendees should bring their own yoga mat. Participants are encouraged to wear comfortable athletic clothing and bring a jacket in case of cool weather. I don't think we have to worry about that anytime soon. Classes will be led by certified instructors from the Center for Health and Fitness and AdventurePlex. For additional information, call 310-374-3426 or visit the website at bchd.org. That's beachcitieshealthdistrict.org. Okay. Ortega 120 hosts Tequila University the first Tuesday of every month from 7 to 9 p.m. That's this coming Tuesday, May 6th. Named one of the top 30 things to do in L.A. by Wear Magazine, the event is hosted by award-winning mixologist and tequila aficionado Demi Stevens. This popular class features a different tequila company every month, and students quickly discover that learning has never been so tasty. Attendees will receive a history of tequila and how it is made, a brief history of how the featured tequila is produced and its background. You'll get chips, salsas, guacamole, tacos, and churros to be paired with the featured tequila, a tasting of the featured tequila, one of Ortega 120's award-winning 120 House Margaritas, a mixology lesson in which students will learn how to make two of the cocktails. The cost is only $20 per person with a required $10 deposit to be paid when making the reservation. For additional information and to make reservations, call 310-792 4120 or visit the website at www.ortega120.com. Ortega 120 is located at 1814 South Pacific Coast Highway in Redondo Beach. The Nora Center for the Performing Arts presents the madcap musical comedy The Drowsy Chaperone. It began its run on April 25th and runs through May 1st. It's the winner of 5 Tony Awards. Performance times through the May 11th engagement are 8 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays and 2 p.m. Sundays. Tickets are $45 for adults and $25 for children ages 12 and under. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit www.thenoracenter.com or call 310-544-0403. The Nora Center is located at 27570 Nora Center Drive in Rolling Hills Estates. Free parking is available adjacent to the theater, and the facility is wheelchair accessible. As always, check the calendar links and things to do page on my website, www.southbaybyjackie.com, for details on these and other events throughout the South Bay. Now, a couple of program notes. Tomorrow morning on the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, our guests, Matthew McIver, Jeff Parker, Tan Dunbabin, and Nancy Rankovich, will give us the dish on the inaugural Bite at the Beach, a food and craft beer festival showcasing the best the South Bay has to offer. It takes place Saturday, May 17th from 2 to 7 p.m. at the MBS Media Campus in Manhattan Beach. You can listen live at 8 a.m. to call in with questions or comments at 714-242-5288. So be sure to tune in each Friday for all the latest chamber news and events. One last note. Don't forget to vote for the South Bay Show for favorite local radio program in the Daily Breeze Best of Reader's Choice Awards. We always appreciate your support. You can go online and vote for us. Right, Joe?
Yay.
Yeah. Somebody wasn't listening to anything I said. That's okay.
No, I was on mute.
I listened to absolutely every word.
Okay.
I was cheering, but no one could hear me.
Torrance is represented this weekend in the guide.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we're a little busy this weekend, as is the whole South Bay. A lot of things to do.
Listen, Pat, this hour just flew by. Give us all your contact information, website addresses, anything, you know, so if anybody wants to talk to you and hear about your candidacy, they know where to get in touch.
I can be reached at my website is www.patfuryformayor.com. I can be reached at pat@councilmanpatfury.com. My cell phone number is area code 310-613-9099. And I can be found on Facebook, Councilman Pat Fury, Twitter, Councilman Fury. And I think that's about all the contacts I can give you at this point. I would encourage everybody to, June 3rd is a very important election. There are 16 people running for the city council. Make sure you do your homework. See who you think will be the best candidate. Make sure you help me out and vote the right people in so that the next 4 years will be as productive as the last four and the last 40. We really need to move in the right direction. I think Torrance is moving in the right direction, but I need the help of the community as well as the elected officials to keep going that way.
Pat, in the few minutes, or actually about a minute and a half that we have left, I want to ask you, do you think that people do their homework? Do you think that people really, really engage with elections today?
I think there's a number of people who do, probably the better percentage. It's unfortunate. We have 82,000 registered voters in Torrance. I would be shocked if we get 30% turnout. Mm. And, that's kind of a sad commentary. But I think out of that 30% turnout, I'm sure that half of those people are well-educated. They know what they're doing, and they're voting for a purpose. Mm. Some other people, they're just exercising their right, and that's certainly correct. This is a gubernatorial primary, although I don't think that's a big thing this time. But we do have a congressional seat. And we also have a state senatorial seat. And those are very important elections. These are, people who are running our country and running our state. So it's unfortunate that Torrance is tied to it because it takes several pages before you get to our election. But I know the people in our city who are engaged, they'll be out there voting. And
well, that's wonderful. And it has gone by tremendously fast because you really do bring a lot of energy and a lot of expertise to your position as a council member, and it was just fun, Pat.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. And Jackie, I thank you as well. It's really, you know, this is a passion. You really have to love the community to do what I do for $100 a month. And there's nothing in it for me. There's no backdoor deals. It's just a love of the community. I want to keep us going the right way, and I think I have the expertise to do it. And that's fun to talk about. It really is.
That's great.
It's what I do.
Well, thank you so much, Pat Fury, for joining us.
My pleasure.
And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right, that's our show today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow for Manhattan Beach 360, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Bye-bye now.